The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Proverbs chapter 3. We start from verse 5. Verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. The title of today's message is, He Shall Direct Your Paths. He shall direct your paths. So, Proverbs 3, verse 5, and then verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'll take it again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we'll break down this message into four parts. Number one, trusting in the Lord. Number two, leaning not on thy own understanding. Number three, acknowledging God. And number four, He shall direct thy paths. When the Bible says trust in the Lord, it's a command. When it says lean not on thy own understanding, it's a serious word. It's still a command. Then in all thy ways acknowledge him. Again, God is speaking to you, commanding you. Then the fourth part is that He shall direct thy paths, which means he will certainly, without any fail, direct your path. So let's pick it one after the other. What is it to trust in the Lord? And in this particular context, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you trust totally in God, you won't need to lean on your own understanding. And if you are leaning on your own understanding, then you are not trusting in God. When we talk about trust, we are talking about being confident. Number two, we are talking about having an assurance. Number three, we're talking about having faith, and in this particular context, faith in God. And number four, we're talking about depending or relying on God. So trust means being confident that what God has promised, he's able to do it. Being confident that his word never fails. And being confident that he has told you that he will never let you be ashamed. Being confident that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when he starts with you, he won't leave you alone. He will see it to a perfect conclusion. Our reliance is based on the character of God that we know. We know the character of the devil. The Bible says he's the father of lies. So if the devil speaks and you believe him and act upon it, then you will injure yourself. But we know the character of God. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I changeth not. Then he also says that I'm not like man, that I should repent, neither Am I like the son of man that I should have a change of mind? Have I not said it? And will I not do it good? There is a certain constancy about God. There's a certain trustworthiness about God. There is a certain reliability and dependability upon God, that even when the fires were heated 7 times the normal intensity, and the 3 Hebrew boys trusted him, God delivered them by sending the 4th man. There is a track record of the goodness of God, that God, who has begun with you, will finish with you. Oh, come on. I want you to acknowledge that faithfulness of God by a good shout and a good clap to his glory. The word declares, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is settled in a place where nobody can go and alter it. The judges of the Supreme Court cannot go up and alter it. And if something displeases you, you can appeal to the Supreme Court in heaven. And what is written, forever, O Lord, in the volumes of his book, is what he will apply from the top and bring it down. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I heard about a court case where judgment was brought against a pastor in the church, and they went before God to appeal, and the one who won the judgment came there and said, I'll give you the land, and he added money and said, go and build. Oh, come on, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. There is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. There is a God in heaven who does not fail. And there is a God in heaven who has said that, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So when you are appearing before such a God, you do not waver. You do not get disturbed. Your heart must be fixed. You must have this assurance in your heart that by the time you finish the prayer, God would have heard you. Your faith must be placed in Jehovah. The Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, for he is a just rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's important to know that when we trust God, we are standing on him as our grounds. We are relying on him as the partner who would deliver the goods. And when we trust God, we are literally leaning on him. What I'm leaning on can break down at another time. What I'm leaning on can bear some weights, but if somebody is 200 pounds, he cannot lean on what I'm leaning on. But no matter the weight of your problem, you can lean on God. I mean, you can lean and rest and sleep. Daniel depended on God. He rested on God. They starved the lions. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But by the time they threw him in, the lions were quiet, and none of them, you know, roared against Daniel. God would do the same for your life. So our reliance and dependability on God is not in a vacuum. Our reliance and dependability on God is not in the abstract world. It is based on the character of God that we know and that we have experienced, that if we hand over things into his hands, he's able to handle them well and multiply them and bless us back with that. Can I hear an amen? You see, trust connects you to another person. The reason why people marry is because of trust. The reason why people become friends is because of trust. So when people trust you, they draw you closer. They can even take you into their living room or their bedroom because they simply trust you. And if they have something to be done and they don't want anybody to know the details, they may call you and share with you. Oh, can I hear an amen? If they have some monies to be lodged in the bank, they know that between where they gave it to you and the bank, you would deliver and come back. So trust connects you in a certain way. Our connection to God is based on trust. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Our connection to God is based on trust. If you don't trust God, then he doesn't trust you. Let's go back to the Old Testament. The Israelites did not trust him. Whenever he spoke and said he was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey, and that he will fight their battles for them and defeat the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Gergesites, they did not believe him. So their attitudes went to demonstrate that they had doubt and didn't have confidence in the word of God. Because of that, at a stage when the spies were sent to the promised land, 10 of them, 10 majority, came back with a negative report. We saw the land, it flows with milk and honey. And these are eloquent testimonies of grapes. They are not ordinary grapes, they are not small grapes, they are big grapes. So the land is good. Then they added, but we saw another thing. We saw huge, tall giants. They were akin to the descendants of Anak. And I think we are not able to defeat them. But this same God was the God that for 430 years under slavery, when they had no weapon of war and they didn't have power and they had been stripped of everything, Jehovah demonstrated his power overnight and defeated the Egyptians and brought them to the other side of the Red Sea. This same God had been journeying with them through the wilderness and no nation had defeated them. So why is it at this stage that they began to doubt in the goodness and in the reliability of God? The simple fact was that they didn't learn to fellowship with his word. There are three things or three steps to trusting God. Number one, you have to know God. You have to know God. If you don't know a person, how can you trust him? How can you employ a person you don't trust? How can you marry a person you don't trust? How can you commit into the hands of somebody you don't trust to oversee your estate and your assets? There must be trust. And in order to have that trust, it begins with knowing the person. That's why we say that, they say love is blind, but before you marry, love cannot be blind. Love has to open the eyes and watch every detail of the behavior of the opposite mate. And then when you ascertain that this person is worthy of consideration for marriage, then you do that. Can I hear a solid amen? Oh, can I hear a better amen, somebody? So we must know God. Paul said that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection and know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. I want to know the power that was generated during his resurrection That power that is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to know that. I want to know him. So that in case there's a challenge, I know what he can do. And I know what he cannot do. I didn't hear an amen. He said that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection, and then know the fellowship of his suffering. God will not lead you on a sweet by and by road. God will lead you through some places where there are rocks and other places where there is sand. He may lead you through the valleys and over the mountains. He may lead you through where there are some roses and where there is hibiscus. With the hibiscus, you can prepare sobolo and drink. So God said that when you go through the waters, did you hear that? I'll go with you. And when you go through what? The fire, I will go with you. So you have to know God. You have to know God, that the Bible says, if your master suffered, then you must also suffer a little for him. So you don't back out as soon as some situations occur, and then they present you with issues of a little suffering. The Bible says the sufferings that we go through are not worthy to be compared with the outcome, the glories that are to be revealed in him. So Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know the outcomes that will come when I go through the thick and the thin with him. The outcomes that will come when I go through the pain with him and I'm deprived of certain things. What will I get at the end of the day? Remember, Peter and Co. asked Jesus that we have left houses, we have left brothers, we have left sisters, we have left our fishing boats. What shall we have now? And what shall we have in the life to come? And Jesus said, now you're going to have more brothers and sisters. And in the life to come, you're going to have eternal rewards. Following God gives you two kinds of rewards. It doesn't deprive you of anything. It's just that you have a disciplined life and you cultivate that life, which may be different from the life that you previously knew. And this discipline puts you on the path of righteousness, where God will meet you and God will begin to bless you. So the Christian life may seem like a disadvantage in the beginning, but at the end of the day, if they sleep in houses, you will sleep in more houses. If they fly abroad, you will fly to many more countries. Can I hear an amen? If their children attend good schools, yours will attend better schools. So he wants to know the fellowship of his suffering. And you have to know God. You have to know when he's moving. You have to know when he wants you to sit down. You have to know God. You have to know that when there's a certain move, it's not God. Number two, after knowing God, you must love him. You must just love God. You just say, Lord, I love you. I love you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for us. So we are to reciprocate this love that has been previously demonstrated to us by God. The Bible says we should allow the love of Christ to constrain us. The love of God to guide us and to lead us into whatever we do. The Bible says the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So you can't use anger all the time in correcting people. But the love of God would do the work. Can you clap in love to the Most High God? You love God, you will rise early to pray. You won't miss it. You will talk to Him. Amen. You love God, you will read His word. You would want Him to talk back to you. You love God, you will fellowship with the brethren. You won't be missing service like that. You love God, you will show kindness to someone else who is either disadvantaged at a particular moment, or who is under distress, or unwell, or underprivileged. So you love God, you will go soul winning. You bring somebody else to church, and you will minister the word of salvation to such a person. So loving God will put the thoughts of God in your mind. It's interesting to see people when they meet their new date. They are crazy about their date. They think about the person, and sometimes they would dare print a picture of the person and hang it on the wall in their room. They want to hear the voice of that person, and they call. They say, "Are you busy?" They say, "Oh no, I'm a little busy, but I can have 5 minutes for you." So, and then they start conversing. Oh, you people, you are acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. And when the person invites you for dinner, there's some excitement in your heart because your love is arising. I didn't hear an amen. When the person says, "We'll walk down the altar," or "We will walk down the aisle," rather, you are ready to say, "Oh, hallelujah, we will tie the knot." So you go to your dressmaker, and you also go to the shop to get your suit, and then you find the shoes to match, and then the wedding match is played, and you appear because you are in love. The same way, you have to show love to God. You must love God. You must love the people of God. You must love God. You can't love me without loving my children. If you don't love my children, I will cut you off. So you can't love God without loving God's children, because the Bible says no man has ever seen God. And if there's anything, there's the image of God in us. So anything we do for anybody bearing the image of God in us, we have done it unto the Most High God. So trust has the capacity to put your worries to sleep. Trust has the capacity to put your anxieties to rest. And trust has the capacity to destroy your fears. The little anxieties undermine our confidence in God. The little worries still undermine our trust in God. And the little fears that we entertain. Hey, what about if it doesn't work? Hey, what about if I wait on God and time passes? Hey, what about if it is God, it will come to pass. If it is God, it will be answered. If it is God, a solution will be provided. Maybe a solution will be provided that may be slightly different from what you're expecting, but somehow he will provide a solution for you. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord, trust in him. And we are told in the Psalms that they that trust in the Lord, they will be so established like Mount Zion and cannot be removed. Trust God so much that nobody can use juju power to remove you. Trust God so much that people who contact prophets of doubtful spiritual source and they try to work against you will not work. Just trust God. Just trust God that somebody says, you will see. I am from so-so and so region and we do voodoo. And I'm going to contact my grandfather. You will see. That person may not necessarily arrive there. Oh, come on. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. That person may be brought back dead. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. If it was not for trust in God, some of us would not be doing this work. Because you literally expose yourself to millions of demons. But God is in us, and God is around us, and God is for us, and with God we shall do valiantly. One shall chase 1,000, but when we are gathered like this, two shall chase 10,000. Today I declare, may 10,000 and more of forces of darkness that are against you be sent away. Nobody can kill you. We reverse any satanic words back to the sender. And we declare whatever they send shall backfire. Whatever they bear in their hands, in a small pot or a big pot, while they are stirring some concoctions, it will explode in their faces. If they send anything against us, God will send his angels like the bomb experts in some of the Western country to detonate it. So if you like, you send the bomb into my house, I will not step on it because God will guide my feet so I don't step it. But he will send his angel while I am sleeping to detonate the bomb. Because of this, I can confidently say that you shall not die. Oh, come on. I say, you shall not die. Oh, I don't like the response. I say, you shall not die, but live to declare the works of God. You are in school and something is telling you you won't graduate. I, as a servant of God, on the basis of the word of God, declare that you will finish your program. On the day of graduation, you will be part of the ceremony. You will walk down and walk up the days and you will receive your honor. Something is telling you you won't celebrate your next birthday. I declare that you are celebrating as many birthdays as Jehovah will allow for you. Not 5 years, not just 10 years, but if you are younger, 40 years, 50 years. The Bible says that although they gather, that means they will gather. And if they gather, what about that? Although they gather, it is not of me. I cannot be found in their midst. I will not approve what they are doing. I will not sanction what they are doing. Have you forgotten the scripture that talks about the fact that somebody wants to what in a man's cause? What's that scripture? To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth it not. Lift up your right hand and this one shout too. If you won't shout, then don't say it. In the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't hear you quite well. In the name of Jesus Christ, according to God's word, to subvert a man in his course, the Lord approveth it not. I declare my course is approved of God, and any subversion to overthrow me in a satanic coup d'etat will not work. It will backfire. It will backfire against the orchestrators in the name of Jesus Christ. They will say, oh, as for this Easter, we will finish him. So let's start from January and heighten the thing in February. By March, the attack must reach a crescendo, so that April, he will drop dead. But they will see you in May. They will see you in June, well-dressed, like me, if not more than me. They will see you in July. They will see you in August. Another Easter will pass. It will not work for them. But you'll be going stronger and stronger and stronger. How do I know? The Bible says, and there was a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. And as the house of David grew stronger and stronger, the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. I am becoming stronger by my age. I didn't hear an amen. Because the Bible says that as thy years, so shall thy strength be. A 25-year-old man has the strength of a 25-year-old man. But at 50, you must have double that strength. Don't you see I'm becoming stronger? Oh, I can. I preached somewhere in the week, and the person said, before he introduced me, that it is true that old wine tastes better. Oh, the older you get, the better your taste will be. The older you get, the better your prosperity will be. Shout amen. Be wild. Be wild. I told you the will of God is declared. So if I'm declaring, don't be silent. Open your mouth and shout an amen that nobody can beat. I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. For the blessings of the Lord, they will make you rich and add no sorrow. We cancel the sorrow. We cancel the pain. We cancel this disappointment from the blessing. And we declare your blessing is a purified blessing. You will enjoy and have laughter all the days of your life. Can I declare your going out is blessed and your coming in is blessed? Can I declare you are blessed in the city and you are blessed in the village, in your hometown? Can I declare the fruit of your womb is also blessed? I said the fruit of your womb is blessed and the fruit of your ground is blessed. They shall come against you one way, but the Lord shall confound them. He will disorganize them. They will be defeated, and they will go back in seven ways. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of the Lord, is my strength and my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. Oh, when you go down, he says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with the eyes shall you behold the reward of the wicked. And when you go down further, he said, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. When a man says many, then humanistically speaking, it is humanistically many. But when God says many, then godly dimension, it is God's many. And the many of God is much more many than the many of man. So he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him or her from them all. I say, you are delivered. You are delivered from your affliction. You are delivered from the oppressions. You are delivered from the attacks. In the name of Jesus Christ. That I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. That I may know the fellowship to be conformed unto his death. Trust in the Lord. You have to trust the Lord with your entire being. And know that God has your back. This is total dependence on the word of God. Know that God has your back. So you trust in him. In your trust, you trust him with your mind. You trust him with your will. You trust him with your emotions. You trust him with your spirit. And you trust him with your physical being. Trusting God makes you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That is nourished. And whose season does not fail. You shall bear fruit. You shall bear fruit. When you trust God, he plants you by the rivers of water. When it's dry season for everybody else, it is wet season for you. When there are no harvests for others, there will be harvest for you. Well, say amen. When people cannot bear fruits, you will bear huge fruits to divine glory. Trusting God plants you, establishes you, and where you are established is by the rivers of water. So going back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart means that don't vacillate. Don't act like the pendulum that is swinging from zero to the maximum amplitude. Be stable. The Bible says anybody who is unstable in his ways cannot get the blessings of God, because such a person wavers. If you have an air conditioner, you switch it on to cool your room. After 5 minutes, you switch it off and wait for 10 minutes because you are conserving electricity. Your room will never be cool. On 5 minutes, off 10 minutes. On 10 minutes, off 12 minutes. The room will never be cool. You plant a small plant, and every other day you uproot it to see if the roots are growing. And you replant it. The plant will not be firm. It will not be solid. It will not grow. When you trust God, trust God. I didn't hear an amen. The second part is that lean not on thine own understanding. So that's number two. Lean not on thine own understanding. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Lean not on thine own understanding. What does that mean? Lean not means do not support yourself with your own understanding. God says he will financially bless me. I have an uncle in the northern part of Canada. He's the one who will send the money. You are leaning on your own understanding. Do not rely on your own insight or your own wisdom to make a judgment on a matter. Leaning on your own understanding presupposes you are not trusting God enough. You are depending on your own abilities and faculties, which could sometimes mislead you. I say this without prejudice to those servants of God. I have seen some prophets marry 4 times. So I'm asking, what were they hearing? Every time it's the woman who is bad, but who make the choice? Who proposed to the other? I'm sure they looked at a woman who was a businessman woman, and they say, if I marry this woman, she'll come and support me. All my international trips, the fare will be paid. I'm sure they looked at things in the natural, like Lot, and they say, the way that the person has beauty and shape, if I married her, everything will work for me. But behind the beauty is the character. And you might come face to face with it. It doesn't mean pretty people are bad. It's just that you have to find what the will of God is for you. So do not rely on your own. Depend on God's guidance. Depending on your own ability sometimes can be misleading. Because the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But God knows everything. So when we contact him, he will be able to disclose the other part that we don't know yet. In other words, we have good understanding. And when the Holy Ghost helps us, our understanding becomes bigger and sharper. But before then, our understanding is limited. So that's why the Bible says, for God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. Do you know how you can get to the high thoughts of God? You meditate on the word. Do you know how you can get to the high ways of God? You meditate on the word. And take his will into you. You will realize that the word will help you start thinking along the thoughts of God. And help you start thinking along the ways of God. We are told there is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right. And you know, because I'm a counselor, I meet all kinds of people. And sometimes they are sure, cock sure. The Hausa will say, dole, dole. They are sure. They have no shadow of doubt that the choice they are making is the perfect will of God. But at the end of the day, they realize that they have made a bad choice. I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes we counsel people. We say, I remember I counseled somebody. And I said, the guy you're coming to marry in my church, he's not regular at service room. His attendance is poor. He will come for 3 weeks consistently, and the next 6 months you won't find him. The lady said, oh, pastor, I love him. I said, oh, this guy, and not that I was spoiling him, but I was telling what I know about his commitment to God. In other words, he doesn't avail himself to the teachings. He just comes in and out, checks in like a visiting professor, and goes out when he wants. The point I was making is that, madam, make a thorough assessment of this. Make an appraisal of this before you settle. She says, oh, they got married. And as soon as the guy impregnated her, Otilo. Up to now, the guy hasn't seen the child. And over a decade has elapsed. A counselor cannot tell you that this is a bad man. And a counselor cannot tell you that this marriage is wrong. Legally, I'm not supposed to do that. But we can discuss with you options and leave you to make the final choice. If there are 7 options, we can agree that 5 must go. And if we agree, we agree. Then as for the 3, we may leave it with you. God may approve the 3 or disapprove the 3. But some people come, they are so cocksure. They have some kind of ungodly spirituality. I told somebody that your age is small. And the person you're going to get married to, by next year he's retiring. A counselor must be frank. I said, if we leave this world in chronological order, then it means you'll be widowed early. Oh, come on. What is Pastor trying to tell me? I bind his mouth before I bind his words. I said, you will end up taking care of somebody retired with your money. So, Pastor, I love him. You see, when you make common sense fly out of your mind, common sense, you will head into a place where you make yourself very miserable. The guy already doesn't love you. He suspects you. He doesn't trust you. He shouts at you. When you say, I'm coming to visit you, he says, if you like, come. That's why I'm there. He's showing you the colors that he will be showing in future. You say, Pastor, but I love him. He's a nice one. When I'm sick, he takes me to hospital. Then marry the taxi driver who has been taking you to the hospital. The Uber driver. Marry him. You know I'm biased for the will of God. And I don't wait for a marriage seminar to do that. I have been meditating on this and asking God, what does this verse mean? Help me so we all understand it. And today I realized that the day was mature. Because we are teaching in the light of... Oh, clap well. Don't clap half-heartedly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on their own understanding. You are in church, but you are choking yourself with an allergy. Oh, yeah. Oh, chok, oh, heke, allergico. Koni choni aka slide back. Ke ajo mi. You are leaning on your own understanding. I thank God that by his grace, he has kept us for 35 years and still going. My father's own terminated at 15 years. I wasn't proud of it. And I pleaded with God, let me not lean on my own understanding. Some of you, your own understanding is the flesh that guides you, because you have the feelings for the statistics you are seeing about the lady. I'm not looking into your face, so you accuse me of pointing at you. But the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's go to the third one. The third one says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Not in some ways. In other words, in every situation and in any and every circumstance, whether private or public, in hard times or in good times, in secular moments or in spiritual times, in joyful or in sad moments, in your prosperous or not too prosperous moments, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him when you have passed the exams. Acknowledge him when you didn't do too well in the exams. Acknowledge him when the economy is fine and buoyant. And acknowledge him when the statistics in the economy and the fundamentals are not doing too well. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him when you are going through trials, and acknowledge him when you have overcome the trials. Acknowledge God. How do you acknowledge God? Number one,